I think what we have to do is look at the pattern of Russian activities. So there's a legal distinction that the military commanders are keeping to that I think that outside observers don't have to, which is the difference between the Wagner Group and Russia. Wagner Group is an arm of the Russian government. It is achieving Russian security goals. It's just doing it in a way that confounds legalistic Westerners. There's no division between the two, and we have to recognize that. What we've seen in Syria is when Russia calls for a ceasefire and negotiated settlement, what they're really doing is buying time when they're in a position of tactical weakness, as the Russian-backed Haftar forces are in Libya now, and they want to consolidate their military position during that time of ceasefire and then carry on the offensive. So really what this is, we should see this the same way. Haftar's forces are losing. Russia wants a timeout so they can build up defenses so that they can eventually surge and hopefully take Tripoli.
But both Egypt and Russia have this announcement of red line in Sirte and Al Jufrah.
That's true. Egypt is concerned that there will be possibly, you know, a hostile movement on its western frontier. Russia, of course, doesn't want to see another client state fall, as they did the same thing with Bashar al-Assad in Syria. I think we should take those concerns seriously, but I don't think we should allow them carte blanche to build up an offensive capability, which will inevitably be used to try to take all of Libya.
Major General Gering said that the type and volume of equipment demonstrates an intent toward a sustained offensive combat action capabilities in Libya, and indicates also that the Russian Ministry of Defense is supporting these operations. Does that mean a Russian attempt to gain a foothold in Libya and establish a long-term presence on the Mediterranean Sea based on Russian support for General Haftar?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, look, MiG-29s, Su-22s, you know, these are not transferred out of Russia without the Russian government wanting it to happen. You know, what we've seen with Wagner Group is entire units leave the Russian army one day and sign into Wagner Group the same day. The pilots of these aircraft are regular pilots of the Russian Air Force. The S-1 Panzer and surface-to-air weapon, which started off the year with a fine reputation, since then it's declined a bit, because about 20, 25 of them have been lost in Syria and Libya. But, you know, that's not a technology that Russia just casually transfers to private parties. This facade is basically an excuse for inaction. Europe is consumed with its own problems and worries about the possibility of a refugee incidents. But what we're seeing is a patient Russian effort that, if we're not careful, will lead to Europe being flanked on its south while Europe argues over things like balance of payments and banking policies.
But Russia doing that is complicating the situation in Libya and violating the UN arms embargo. How could the U.S. deal with the Russian aggressive involvement in Libya when the UN Security Council called for a ceasefire in Libya?
Well, the first thing we have to realize is that, you know, the UN cannot take effective action because Russia is a member of the Security Council. So just as they've shielded Bashar al-Assad and enabled his ethnic cleansing of certain parts of Syria, they'll continue to do that to advance their purposes in Libya. So really, it comes down to the United States, its security partners, and like-minded states. And what we've seen is that the United States, particularly under this administration, has been very aggressive in implementing sanctions against individual Russian organizations. So the leaders of the Wagner Group, their owners. This requires a broader thing, though. Russians, we saw the release of the UK parliamentary report on Russia that noted that the English were very happy to allow Russians who have acquired money through shady means to buy property and soccer teams in London. We have to start looking at that. And these guys have to know that they can't get rich off of this slaughter and then expect to send their kids to Oxford University. The community of like-minded states has to basically stand up against this and basically deny the fruits of this corruption, because at the end of it, the Russian goal is both security and economic driven. We have to deny them that economic activity, and then perhaps we'll see a more responsible behavior.